Welcome to KHD Bible Study. My name is Emmanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilath Haderach Messianic Synagogue in New York City. I lead a detailed study of the Holy Scriptures from a Messianic Jewish perspective, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the Scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We hope you will join us as we explore and read the book of Isaiah. Okay, welcome to Isaiah Part 9. Have you ever heard people say, "I wish God would talk to me, tell me what to do. Why doesn't he speak to me?" Maybe you know someone like that, or maybe you've had those thoughts yourself. I understand that each one of us wants to hear the voice of God. We want to hear him speak to us audibly as if you were standing right here in our living room. And tonight we're going to get that opportunity, but not in the way that you think. The first word of the greatest commandment is actually Shema, a word that means both listen and hear. Listen and hear would be the same thing as to say, comprehend what you are hearing. Process it. Take it in. Make it a part of you. Don't speak until you hear everything that needs to be said. So the first word of the greatest commandment is Shema. It's not a negative command, but rather an appeal to stop and to listen. I can remember from childhood when people scream, or an adult would scream to a child, stop. You know, stop moving around. Stop doing whatever it is that you're doing. Stop and listen. Now, I don't know if we do that now with our children. I think many of our children have never heard the word stop, and certainly not with force and power. And many of them don't listen. They will just keep rambling on. You see, I believe that the biggest reason God worded that commandment in that way is it points to a fundamental flaw that all human beings have, every last one of us. We want to be heard, but we do not always want to listen and hear. Now, I'm not trying to indict anyone. I'm merely pointing out something that's fundamental to every relationship, that's fundamental to the relationship between God and man and God, and man and woman, and father and son, and mother and daughter, and husband and wife. We want to be heard, but we do not always want to listen and hear. Tonight, Adonai Eloheinu, our creator, will speak to us. He will speak to us through his word, through his prophet, Yeshayahu, and through each of the readers that you hear tonight. I invite each of us to really listen and hear the words of Isaiah 40 through 44. You will hear Adonai speak of himself in a way that I think he's only done in the book of Job. He will speak of himself directly to you and to the generations of the whole house of Jacob, to every tribe from Dan and Manasseh who stumbled and lost their identity, to Judah, Benjamin, Simeon, and Levi, who collectively we call the Jewish people, and to all who hold fast to the belief in Yeshua, to every person who holds fast to the faith and the hope in Yeshua, should read, listen, and hear the words of Isaiah 40 through 44. These words are for you. In Isaiah 40, verse 5, the glory of Adonai will be revealed to all flesh. The glory of Adonai will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of Adonai has spoken. Because I messed that up, I'm going to repeat it. The glory of Adonai will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of Adonai has spoken. Isaiah 40, verse 5. These words mean that all humanity, everybody, the living, the dead, all who have come, all who have been on this earth, will see the glory of Adonai revealed. I want you to listen to Isaiah 43, because the one who pleads with all the generations of the children of Jacob is the actual creator. And he declares he will do a new thing. He also declares he will raise up a chosen people formed by himself. And in verse 43:22, we read, "But you have called on me, Yaakov, or Jacob, because you have grown, you have, let me, please forgive me, I'm going to start over. But you have not called on me, Yaakov, because you have grown weary of me, Israel." Yeshayahu 43:22. And then one more thing before we start the reading, I have to draw attention to the big elephant in the room. Isaiah 42. There are two different, very different, divergent interpretations. The one in Judaism is that Isaiah 42 makes reference to Israel as being the servant. The entire nation of Israel, men, women, children, all generations, as being the servant. We have a similar concept. There's a similar concept in Christianity whereby all the people, all the believers collectively, are considered the bride. But if we read the Torah correctly, the bride is all who believe in Adonai and call on his name. But the other view is that the servant is a man, a Messiah. Now, the temptation is to say, oh, this is talking about Yeshua or Jesus. Not yet. This is talking about a role. And I'm going to prove that to you by a few words. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, we see the word Avdi, which is a male slave. Let me go there so that you can follow along with me. So open your books to Isaiah 42, and we're going to look at Isaiah 42, verse 1 first. Okay, in English, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my ruach on him. He will bring justice to the nations." And that's a wonderful translation. It's not exactly accurate, but it's a wonderful translation because it gets the message across very clearly. The first thing we want to recognize is Hebrew does not use capitalized letters. What Hebrew uses is pronouns built into the words. For instance, I mentioned to you, Avdi, my servant, is what is actually said. My servant, Avdi, Eved, D, Eved, and then you add the word, the I to it, which makes it a belonging to me, belonging to that person who's speaking. Let me go back to do this. I need to have multiple screens open. All right, so that first word is, or in other words, he says, "Behold," which is we all know as hain, hen, or hineni. You hear the word hineni, hen. Hen, evdi, or "Behold, my servant whom I uphold." Now here you'll notice that the word tamak, I uphold, there's no I, there's no possessive I there. So what he's really saying is, hen, eved, bo, tamak, tamak. Or in other words, he's saying, uphold, behold, my servant, whom uphold. And then he says the word Bahir, which means my select. And that over the years, people have chosen that word, turned that word select into chosen. So my select. But he does not say, you will not see my select one. It's just not in the text. Again, he says whom, and then he says nephesh, meaning soul, delights in, delighteth, or as we would say in Old English, delighteth, which in English we would say delightful or delight, delighted in. So you see how it's looks like they want to say, my chosen, whom my soul delights, or my soul is delighted in. Again, the end word is not implied, and my soul is not there. There's no my soul. It just simply says nephesh delights. And then he goes on to say, I have put my ruach, and we all know the word for ruach, upon him. And here it says upon him. The upon him is implied by the word. One moment. Alive. The Hebrew word there is alive. Let me make sure I have that correct. Yes, alive. It sounds like alive, like living, but it's not. It's alive. It just means it's a masculine form, meaning upon him or her or them, but it's a masculine form. Just as Evid or Avi is a masculine form. And then we move down and we have, so in other words, the subject of verse one is masculine. It is not a group of people. It's masculine. So he's talking about a servant whom he will send. And as you read the rest of the chapter, you'll see that in great detail. Because we don't have a lot of time, I'm going to jump ahead and say and demonstrate that this is not never in scripture does a Jew, a Jewish person, exact justice on all the nations. Here in this in these chapters, you're going to see a servant or a Messiah or a person who is destined to enact justice on all the nations. That role is reserved only for the Messiah. Therefore, Isaiah chapter 42 and some of the other chapters we'll be reading tonight is referring to that servant, not to the nation of Israel. It's incorrect to say it's the nation of Israel. Now, why do we say that? Some of the things are in verse 2, he says they will not shout, which implies not raising of the voice. The voice is not, the word voice in that for in that first instance is not there. However, you do see it at the end. It is implied that that you will not hear his voice. You will not hear him speak outside his voice. Now, here, what I'm doing is I'm translating the Hebrew words from their intent to English without doing a direct word for word translation. So this person will never raise his voice, and he won't stand in the streets and yell. He will not, you will not hear his voice. He will not speak outside his voice. He will not speak outside his voice. Does that sound familiar? He's going to say the things that he was told to say. The next instance in again in verse 2 is a bruised reed he will not break. But here we think reed and we think it's a plant or a tree or some kind of stalk, but that's not what the scripture is saying. And the only way to know that is to take that word and to carry it through other scriptures, and you'll see that what he's referring to is a unit of measure. Here, the word reed is not referring to a plant or a tree stem. It's referring to a unit of measure, a measuring rod. You know from Revelation, from Ezekiel, and from other places that a reed is a measuring rod. So this person will not break outside the rules. They will not break anything within the rules. All right. The next thing is, one moment. Let's see here. Let me go back to that particular phrase, and I'll look at that again. All right, so he will not break outside of the rules. He will not speak in his own voice. He will use the voice that is being given to him. Here's something very, very, very important, a major distinction. He will not put out or distinguish anyone else's faith. And what is that? How that language in English has been translated as a dark wick. But that wick, using other scriptural references, means our bruises, our faith, a dark wick, or a dimming wick, like a candle wick, going out, a candle wick fading out, is related to our bruises, to our faith, the things that we hold dear. So when this person comes, he's not going to break anyone's faith. He will not put out what they believe or hope for. But what he will do is let them follow the light of the Torah. In truth, he will bring forth justice. So he will point out what is right, and he will leave it up to you to make the decision. This is all lost in the beautiful poetry in some ways. It's also lost in the fact that we read things very linearly, and we don't relate this word to another word elsewhere in the scriptures. He says he will not be disheartened or lose faith or hope until, that word add, he until justice is put in the earth. Until justice is put in the earth. And what the word that's used is Ule Torah tu, which is and his Torah. And his Torah is imposed on all the earth, including the faraway nations, which, by the way, in prophetic language, the word isles is often used to refer to nations that are far away. It doesn't mean islands out in the middle of the ocean. It means nations that are far away. So he will not be disheartened or lose faith or hope until he puts justice and his Torah on the earth. Do we see that this is referring to a person and not to a nation? Okay, so keeping those few little pieces in mind, because of the time, we can't go through every chapter verse by verse, but I thought I would point those things out to you because it's often debated. Is chapter 42 referring to a Messiah? Or is chapter 42 referring to the people, the nation of Israel, the chosen people? It's clearly based on the language in Hebrew. It's referring to a person, a masculine figure who will come and do these things, who will not speak in his own voice, who will not discourage other people's faith, but who will point out the truth. Not someone who's going to beat you over the head and beat you down and force you to believe what he believes. That is not the behavior of this person, this servant that he will be sending, that God will be sending. All right, so I will go ahead and start reading chapter 40. I'll ask Shamashit Maria to read chapter 41. I'll ask Nadira to read chapter 42. I will read 43, and then we will finish up with Reb Andy reading chapter 44. Once again, as we are flowing, we will not read the headings that are often listed in some translations. We'll just read the text, the numbered verses. Just read the text. Okay, so I will go ahead and get started with chapter 40. And then you also don't need to wait for a cue. Once I finish, you can go right ahead and start reading right after. Right after each person completes their chapter. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to the heart of Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, for she has received from Adonai's hand double for her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of Adonai, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground will be plain and the rugged terrain smooth. The glory of Adonai will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of Adonai has spoken. A voice is saying, cry out. So I said, what shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all of its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, for the breath of Adonai blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Get yourself up on a high mountain, you who bring good news to Zion. Lift up your voice with strength, and you will bring good news to Jerusalem. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Look, Adonai Elohim comes with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he tends his flock. He gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them in his bosom, and gently guides nursing ewes. Who has measured the waters in the palm of his hand, or measured out heaven with a span, or calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, or weighted the mountains in scales, or the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Ruach Adonai, or instruct him as his counselor? With whom did he consult, and who instructed him? Who taught him in the path of justice, or taught him knowledge? Who informed him about the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and count as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, the islands weigh as fine dust. Lebanon is not enough to burn, or its animals enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. By him they are accounted null and void. To whom then will you liken God? To what likeness will you compare him? To an idol? A craftsman cast it? A goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. One too poor for such an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to prepare him an idol that will not totter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? He sits above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the skies like a curtain, spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He reduces princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth a confusion. Scarcely are they planted. Scarcely are they sown. Scarcely their stem takes root in the earth. When he blows on them and they wither, and a storm carries them off as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? The one who brings out their host by number, the one who calls them all by name. Because of his great strength and vast power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from Adonai, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Adonai is the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives strength to the weary, and to the one without vigor, he adds might. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Isaiah 41. Be silent before me, O islands. Let peoples renew their strength. Let them draw near. Then let them speak. Let us come together for judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east? He calls justice to his feet. He gives nations over to him and subdues kings. He makes them like dust with his sword, as driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them, passing on safely by a path his feet had not traveled. Who has performed and done it, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, Adonai, am the first and the last. I am He. The coastlands have seen and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They draw near and come. Each one helps his neighbor and says to his brother, "Be strong." The craftsman encourages the smith, who smooths with the hammer, who strikes with the anvil, saying of the soldering, "It's good," as he fastens it with nails so that it will not totter. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, I took hold of you from the ends of the earth and called from its uttermost parts and said to you, "You are my servant. I have chosen you, not rejected you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I would uphold you with my righteous right hand." Behold, all who were angry at you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who quarrel with you will be as nothing and perish. Though you will look for those who contended with you, you will not find them. Those who warred against you will be as nothing at all. For I am Adonai your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, "Fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you." It is a declaration of Adonai, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Look, I will make you a thrashing sledge, new with sharp double-edged spikes. You will thresh the mountains and grind them up, and will make the hills like chaff. You will winnow them, and a wind will carry them away. A storm wind will scatter them, but you will rejoice in Adonai. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy ask for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, Adonai, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare hills and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land into fountains of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the olive tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine together with the box tree, so they may see and know. Consider and understand together that the hand of Adonai has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, says Adonai. Bring forth your reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and tell us what will happen. The former things, what were they? Tell us that we may consider them and know their outcome, or announce to us things to come. Declare the things coming afterward, so we may know that you are God's. Indeed, do good or do evil, so we may all see and be awestruck. Behold, you are nothing, and your work is null. Whoever chooses you is loathsome. I have stirred up one from the north, and he has come. From the rising of the sun, he will call upon my name. He will trample rulers as on mortar, like a potter treading clay. Who told this from the beginning, so that we may know? Or from former things, so we may say he is right. In fact, no one foretold it. In fact, no one announced it. In fact, no one heard your words. First it was to Zion, behold, here they are, and to Jerusalem, I will give a herald of good news. But when I look, there is no one. There is no counselor among them. When I ask them, they have no response. Indeed, they are all a delusion. Their works are null. Their molten images are wind and waste. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my rock on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice or make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he establishes justice on earth. The islands will wait for his Torah. Thus says God Adonai, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and ruach to those who walk in it. I, Adonai, call you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, by opening blind eyes, bringing prisoners out of the dungeon, and those sitting in the darkness out of the prison house. I am Adonai. This is my name. My glory I will not give to another, or my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I announce them to you. Sing to Adonai a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. You who do go down to the sea with all its fullness, islands and their inhabitants, let the desert and its cities exult, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the dwellers of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout for joy. From the top of the mountains, let them give glory to Adonai and declare his praise in the island. Adonai goes out as a mighty one. He stirs up his zeal like a man of war. He will shout, yes, raise a war cry. He will prevail over his enemies. I have held my peace a long time. I have been stilled and restrained myself. Now, like a woman in labor, I groan, gasping and panting at once. I will waste mountains and hills. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pool. I will bring the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn darkness before them to light and the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. They will be turned back, utterly put to shame, those trusting in idols. Who say to molten images, you are our God? Here, you are deaf. Look, you blind, so you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Who deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is so blind as the one in covenant with me? Blind as Adonai's servant? You have seen many things, but you do not pay attention. Though ears are open, no one hears. Adonai was pleased for the sake of his righteousness to make Torah great and glorious. But this is a people robbed and looted, all of them trapped in holes, hidden away in prisons. They have become a prey with no one to deliver them, and plunder with none to say, give them back. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and heed hereafter? Who gave Jacob to the looter, Israel to the plunderers? Was it not Adonai? Have we not sinned against him? In his ways they were unwilling to walk, and his Torah they did not obey. So he poured out on him the fury of his anger and the fierceness of battle. It blazed all around him, yet he did not understand it. It burned him, yet he did not take it to heart.
But now, thus says Adonai, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, or through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor will the flame burn you. For I am Adonai your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my eyes, honored, because I love you, I will give a man in exchange for you and other peoples for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, I formed him. Yes, I made him. Bring out the people who are blind, yet have eyes, who are deaf, yet have ears. All the nations are gathered together, and the peoples are assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us former things? Let them present their witnesses so they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it's true. You are my witnesses. It is a declaration of Adonai, and my servant, whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me, no God was formed, and there will none after me. I am Adonai, and there is no Savior beside me. I alone declared, saved, and proclaimed, and not some foreign God among you. So you are my witnesses. It is a declaration of Adonai, and I am God. From eternity, I am He. None can deliver from my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Thus says Adonai, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down the fleeing Chaldeans, all of them, in the ships in which they exult. I am Adonai, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says Adonai, who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who drew out chariots and horses, the army and the warrior. They will lie down together and not rise again. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember former things, nor consider things of the past. Here I am, doing a new thing. Now it is springing up. Do you not know about it? I will surely make a way in the desert, rivers in the wasteland. The field animals honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given water in the desert, rivers in the wilderness to give drink to my chosen people, the people I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob, for you have been weary of me, Israel. You have not brought me sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I did not compel you to serve offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have not spent money buying me aromatic cane, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. Rather, you burdened me with your sins, wearied me with your iniquities. I am the one who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Remind me when we argue our case together. State your case so that you may be proved right. Your first father sinned, and your mediators rebelled against me. So I profaned the sanctuary officials and gave Jacob over to destruction and Israel to scorn.
But now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Adonai, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will not help you. Do not fear, Jacob, my servant, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am Adonai's. That one will be called by the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, Adonai's, and will take the name Israel. Thus says Adonai, Israel's king and his redeemer, Adonai Sevaot, I am the first and the last, and there is no God beside me. Who is like me? Let them proclaim and denounce it. let him arrange it in order for me as I established the ancient nation. Let them declare to them what is coming and future events. Do not dread or be afraid. Have I not told you and declared it long ago? So you are my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? Is there any rock? I know of none. Those who fashion idols are empty. Their precious things do not profit. Their witnesses do not see or know, so they will be put to shame. Who fashions a god or casts an idol for no profit? Behold, all his friends will be ashamed, for the craftsmen are only human. Let them all assemble. Let them stand up. Let them dread. Let them be put to shame together. The blacksmith takes a tool and works with it over the coals, fashioning it with hammers and working it with his strong arm. Yet when he is hungry, his strength fails. When he drinks no water, he gets tired. A carpenter stretches out a line. He marks it with a pencil. He shapes it with planes. He marks it with a compass. He shapes it like the figure of a man, like the beauty of a man, so that it may sit in a shrine. He chops down cedars for himself, or he takes a cypress or an oak. He lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a pine, and rain nourishes it. Then it is something for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and warms himself. He also makes a fire to bake bread. He also makes a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows before it. He burns half of it in the fire. With this half, he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. He also warms himself and says, "Ah, I am warm. I've seen the fire." Yet with the rest, he makes a god, his carved image. He falls down before it and worships. He even prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They do not know or understand, for he smeared over their eyes so they cannot see, and their hearts so they cannot understand. No one reflects in his heart with no knowledge or discernment to say, "I burned half of it in the fire, and I also baked bread on its coals. I roasted meat and ate, and then I make the rest of it an abomination? Should I bow before a block of wood? He is feeding on ashes. A deceived heart has led him astray, so he cannot deliver his soul or say, 'Isn't what is in my right hand a fraud?'" Remember these things, Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant. Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for Adonai has done it. Shout, depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, mountains, forests, and every tree in it. For Adonai has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified through Israel. Thus says Adonai, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am Adonai, maker of all things, stretching out the heavens alone, spreading the earth abroad by myself, causing the omens of boasters to fail, making fools of diviners, turning wise men backward, and making their knowledge foolish, while confirming the word of his servant, fulfilling the counsel of his messengers, saying of Jerusalem, she will be lived in, and of the cities of Judah, they will be built, and I will raise up their ruins, while saying to the deep, be dry, I will dry up your rivers, while saying of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my purpose, while saying to Jerusalem, you will be built, and to the temple, your foundation will be laid.
Thank you. Thank you to all who have read this evening. I truly appreciate all of your reading. Let us come to the conclusion here. Before we go, or before we stop the recording, I'd like to make sure that we remember a couple of very basic things. These words are Adonai speaking through his prophet, Isaiah, speaking directly to you and unto the whole house of Jacob. As you all know, the house of Jacob is called the house of Jacob. It's also called the house of Israel, or the children of Israel. It pertains to not only those nations that had just gone off into captivity, and Judah who would be going into captivity, and Judah who would be returned back as a unified people. As I mentioned, Benjamin, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. But it also speaks to the people who have lost their identity out in the nations. And most of all, it speaks to the people. There was one phrase that I thought was absolutely perfect. This one will say, I am Adonai's. That one will be called by the name Jacob. Another will write on his hand, Adonai's, and will take the name of Israel. That perfectly speaks to all of those who have the faith of Yeshua, but also who have rejoined themselves to their heritage, to their culture, and who now call themselves descendants of Israel. This was not done by the people themselves. As he himself said, he did this. He formed these people. He chose them. And these words of encouragement of him reshaping the world and creating streams in the desert and leveling off the mountains and the land so that his people may come back, so that Israel will be established and made a pleasure on the earth. These are the words of Adonai. These are not the words of some one individual, not one prophet, not one man, but a recurring theme that have been all through the Holy Scriptures and throughout the prophets and into the Brit Hadashah or the New Testament.
Thank you for joining us as we explore the complexity and poetry of the book of Isaiah. Join us each week as we continue to examine the writings of the prophet Yeshayahu, bringing his words into our modern viewpoint.